come down from there, old woman. And the young. Hallelujah. If y'all would have seen her laid out on the concrete, you'd understand why I'm helping her. Because she's still kind of unstable from all this, but we're singing about the goodness of God. And if she'd have got her arms out on that old rough concrete, it would have just ripped them terrible. So just to come up with a broken nose, that's the goodness of God. You know, you don't necessarily want a broken nose, but it could have been a lot worse. And thank God that it wasn't. Are you coming in or are you staying out? Oh, I see. Hallelujah. Well, I don't... I don't know that I'm preaching very much today. I was, how many knows that the March Madness, the basketball, the college basketball, it wrapped up just a couple of weeks ago. Everybody knows about the basketball. They have women's and men's basketball, college ball. And I was watching some of it, and the losers are crying. And I'm thinking, these are grown men and women. Why would a grown man cry because he loses a ball game? I'm thinking. I pondered this and this week, thing I heard that the Lord wanted to share with us is, do not weep for me. Do not weep for me. I'm telling you, Kay and I, when we got married, and when we decided we wanted children, a year or two after we were first married, we was come up dry. We didn't have any. We couldn't get pregnant, or we didn't think we could. And we didn't know about the timing of God, I guess. 5 years into our marriage, we're thinking, we're not going to have children. And Justin, he came along. 13 months after he is born, he came down with spinal meningitis. And it had an extremely high temp, like 106, and took him to the doctor, to the hospital there in Ardmore, and they were supposed to do a spinal tap on him, and he's turning blue. And a nurse came to us and said, if y'all don't do something, he's going to die. And they're telling us, we're in a hospital, and they're telling us, if you don't do something. And so and they put him in an ambulance and shipped him to Oklahoma City Children's Hospital. And on the way up there, he had slipped off into a coma, and he stayed in that coma for a week. And you know, we're young, and we had a church family that prayed for us and prayed with us and stayed with us in the whole ordeal. And Kay, she's pregnant at the time. And she'd had introduced into your body? Radioactive isotope. And they didn't know that she was pregnant when they gave her this. When they found out that she was pregnant and that they had done this, they wanted us to have an abortion. My daughter, we think you should have an abortion. And we both grew up in church. But it seemed like it was an option, you know, because you got people that's supposed to know what they're doing telling you something. Doctors. We found out that doctors don't know everything. We found that out. We decided that we wouldn't have an abortion. Instead, we had a daughter. And in the goodness of God, our son, after having this high temp, and the reason for that, his head was swollen, something like that. And I don't know. Anyway, they came to us, the doctors came to us, and they said, your son's going to live, but he's going to be, there'd be something wrong with him. Mentally handicapped, something, physically, something will be wrong with your son. The goodness of God. Don't weep for me. I wish, I don't know if any of you have seen our daughter's reaction when she discovered that she had the tumor. She began to feel a knot, and it felt like it was so big, and then by the time we got to it, it was this big, and when they x-rayed it, they said, if it's a 4, we can operate and we'll do this and this and this and this. But if it's a 5, we can't do it. So they x-ray and they said, well, it's bigger than we thought. It's a 5 and it's spread. And it's inoperable. We can't operate on it. It's too big. It's too invasive. And I don't know if she told you that or not, but I was sitting with her and she told me that. This is what the doctor said. And then we'd run up against insurance companies not wanting to pay. They needed a PET scan and the insurance wouldn't pay for it.
weep for me.
Don't weep for me. She was going in. She went and got the PET scan. And the doctor read it on the morning that she was going in to have her first chemo treatment. And from a 5 and invasive and all the news that we got, you know, all the information that they gave us about it from the beginning, it was always worse and worse. Every time it was bigger, worse, you know, they just kept piling it on. And we got the PET scan done, paid for it with cash. It was a whole lot cheaper. Wound up being cheaper than it would have been if the insurance had paid for it and they had to make up. So it wound up being cheaper. And they come in, and the very same doctor, they claim that this lady is one of the best in the state. If I get this wrong, you can fix it for me, right? And best. And she said, this is not right. She said, it's not a 5. It's only a 2.5. It's not invasive. It hadn't gone spread to anything else. There's no feeling. Don't weep for me. I was weeping with tears of joy. The goodness of our God. The goodness of our God. I'm telling you, if you would just listen to her reaction when she heard all of this news of it's a young mama with a 12, 6, and 4-year-old. And a little 4-year-old praying for her. It'll bring tears to your eyes. If you hear her rejoicing in the fact that it's not as bad as they said it was, and rejoice that you just got a 2.5 centimeter. Yes.
That the doctor wrote down on the paper. She went from like a life expectancy of 5 years. That's what she was facing. And then she saw the prognosis that the doctor had written down after viewing all her tests and everything, and the prognosis is cured. He is expecting to see her totally cured. Amen. And so are we.
Yes,
so are we. But that shouldn't come as a surprise to us, right? What has God spoken over this area? Cancer-free zone. Do not weep for me. Do not weep for me. Man. Our son and our daughter both are praise and worship leaders. Don't weep for me. Rejoice. 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 The goodness of our God. I got to thinking about people that are close to us or around, you know. Joe and Malo. They're not here today. They lost their oldest son in a ski-doo accident. You guys just went through a cancer deal with Abby. Right? Don't weep for me. What happened to that cancer? It's gone, right? Doctors are telling John he has cancer of prostate. Don't weep for me. Have you got something? Yeah.
Wednesday at prayer, we pretty much went over the whole first chapter of Colossians, you know, just quoted it of, and that I kept reading it all week, Colossians 1, which I love Colossians 1. But I was studying on it, and I wanted to just share just kind of what I devised from it in the Greek. But I want to read it to you. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, first chapter of Colossians. And I want to give you a little bit of brief history and then tell you something about it. But I'm going to start at verse 11. Actually, let's start at 15. Oh, no, let's start at 11. Change my mind again. Keep you on your toes. Colossians 1:11. And I usually always read out of the King James, but I was just going to read this. It makes it a little more clear. So Colossians 1:11, it says, "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we could see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." And keep going. "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in the physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. I'm skipping down to 25. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles as well. And this is the secret, that Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. And the way, you know, I always grew up hearing it, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But as I was studying, reading that, so in, he was at, I guess you would call it Colossae? I really don't know how to pronounce it. Colossae. So it's a city near Phrygia in Greece, or Rome. And it, at this point, when Paul went there, it actually had become, when I was reading about it, it had become a lesser-known city. They were known for dyeing wool, but they actually got a lot of flack over there. They were kind of made fun of by the surrounding cities. And the main reason is because there was actually a spring that they had built a well around there in that city. And they believed that the archangel Michael had touched this spring, and it's divine now. And they were worshiping the archangel Michael. And they believe that this spring flowed all life, that anybody could be healed if they got to this spring. And that's when Paul arrives on the scene to write this letter and set things clear. That out of Christ comes all things. He was before all things. He was through. There's not something higher than him or more than him. He is the beginning of everything. And so this letter just isn't praising Jesus or talking good about him. He is literally setting the record straight to this city of people. Of, we're not worshiping angels. We're not worshiping creeks. Where does all this come from? Where does it all extend from? Jesus. And I love how it said here that he was before. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. So think about that. He holds all creation together. So that last part, he said that this message was a mystery. No one knew this message until now. Why now? Because Christ revealed it. And he said, and what is the secret message? What is the mystery that no one understood? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when I looked up those words, Christ, we know, is the anointed one, the Holy Spirit or his spirit. And in you, in, it said that it is not a verb or action word or term, but it means to simply rest and be a part of. And as in, it's not trying to happen or supposed to happen. It is. There's no action involved in that word. It just is. He rests in you. The hope, it says pleasurable expectation or a confident anticipation of glory. It says to be certain, to think and see, to be pleased at what you look at and know that it is good. And it said it is the same as the book of Genesis 1. So now we go back to creation. It said that he existed before all things, and he's the head of all creation. So what happened in Genesis? It said that God saw, he spoke, it came to be, and it said, and the Lord saw it, and it was what? Good. Over and over again. I thought it, I spoke it, and now I see it. It's good. And it said that that same creative power is the mystery that we realize now has always been in us. We are him in the beginning. I think it, I speak it, and I see that it's good. And so if we were using those Greek and that Hebrew translation of what I just said those words mean, instead of saying it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, it would read like this. The anointed one rests as a part of you, and it brings confident anticipation and pleasurable expectation that whatever you see, think, or speak will become good. That's the mystery that we have. And so he's clearing it up for them, but he's clearing it up for us. There is no entity or power that is higher than Jesus Christ. There is no cancer that is higher than Jesus Christ. There's no sickness, no disease, things created under the earth, above the earth, through the earth. He is the head of all things. And the mystery that he's revealed in us is if he is the head, he has also made us the head because he's resting within us as a part of who we are. So in that, whatever we're facing, I'm just choosing to look and see that it is good. Doesn't the word say that it's not by what you feel, not by what you think, you see, not by power, but it's by his spirit? But and it says, call those things that aren't as if they are. And it's not a denial. It's just us saying, I see with different eyes. I have the creative power of the God himself, that when he said, let there be light, boom, light came. When he divided the firmament, he looked at it and said, it's good. When trees come, it's good. Just and that's something that Wednesday, because we're in the middle of spring, so you can't help but go outside and see all the buds on everything coming out. And I love red bud trees. They're really good this year. And they're so bright and everything. And I was thinking, these trees are performing an act that was set in motion before I even knew time existed. Every time we see that, and we kind of get used to things, right? We just get used to seasons and cycles. But I thought of that when he put the seed in the earth and said, be fruitful and multiply, the earth has still not stopped that first word. It does not know how to do anything else but bear a seed and go in the ground and come back again and do it again because he said. And that's what we stand on. And that same spirit in him that speaks it, we have it. The Christ in us, the anticipation of glory, the expectation of we will see something good out of that.
Christ in us, huh?
Something I have been meditating on this past week. There's a catchphrase that a lot of people use nowadays, and it's my truth. My truth. And what they mean is how I see things. This is reality to me. And I think we need to be careful that we not fall into that, because your truth and reality is not something you can build anything on. There's no foundation there. It's changeable. The only thing you can that gives you a firm foundation is the truth of Jesus, what he says, what his word says. Now it says in John 6 or 8, somewhere in there, it's 8:32, I think, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And then a few chapters later, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth. He is the foundation of what we stand on and what we believe. That doesn't mean that there's not reality. It doesn't mean that there's not bad reports. It doesn't mean that there's not difficult things that we walk through. That's reality. It's what we have to deal with. But what we stand on, what we need to stand on, what we have to learn to stand on, is I don't care what that looks like. I don't care what reality says. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care, because it's not truth. Truth says, by his stripes I am healed. Truth says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Truth says. And as we hear the word of the Lord, learn the word of the Lord, we find ourselves in a position of authority over the reality. I was sharing some things with John and Linda the other day, and this popped into my spirit, and I thought, ooh, that's good. That's way too good for it to come from me. It must be God. But what I thought was, a bad report is just a seed bed for a miracle. You know, God's people, we go around, oh, I want to see a miracle, I want to see a miracle, I want to see a miracle. But we don't think that somebody has got to be in some desperate situations to need a miracle before we can see one. Have you thought about that? Do you want to be the one that needs a miracle? Not really. I'd rather watch God do it for someone else. But we see miracles. We will see miracles as we stand on His word. When I took our daughter to have a biopsy done, and she came out, it was bad. You know, you try to be so careful to say the right thing. And I'm real bad about not saying the right thing anyway. I can aggravate with my best intentions. But I told her finally, I said, you know, I have a choice here to be devastated or to be ticked off. Right now, I choose to be ticked off. This thing has no right in your body. It has no right to be here. It has to die. It has to shrivel up. It has to be passed from your body. It cannot survive in your body. It was stupid to try to live in your body, because your body is the temple of the Most High God, and it will shrivel and die. It cannot live in you. She's like, Mother. You know? But that's truth. That is what the Word said. And she tolerates me fairly well with my rants, because she knows I'm fighting for her. Anyway, I want to read you a scripture. If I can find it again, what did I do with it? It's Micah chapter 7. It starts in verse 7. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Sometimes we have to wait for His timing to be made complete, to see Him move on our behalf. My God will hear me. Your God will hear you. John, your God has heard you. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. So I want to encourage us all just to walk in truth. Teach it yourself to believe the truth. Don't matter what the circumstances look like. Doesn't matter what's going on. What does God's word say about the situation? And if you don't know, if you can't find a scripture, ask Him, how am I to respond to this? And He'll tell you. And you walk in that, and you're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle. And you will laugh. You will laugh. When Rachel sent me the report that she had gotten as she was getting chemo, I just had to laugh. God is so good. She was laughing. I was laughing, then I told Jack, and he was laughing. God is so good. Unbelievably, extravagantly good.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I was in Romans 13:1, it says, all authority. All authority is given by God. Sometimes we want to give up authority. We want to weep at what the enemy has said. We can take authority. I told Kay, I said, you know what? The last time I looked, I own this mountain. And the last time I looked, God gave it to us. And my daughter, even though they have their own home, it's theirs, they are there under us. I own this mountain. And the enemy cannot come in and usurp that. We just can't do it. At Romans 13, it says that anything that comes against that authority, cannot survive. It cannot have its dominion over me. It cannot. Praise God. Thank God for the mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank God. That was revealed to us that that's what it is. Christ in us. It says the older shall serve the younger. The younger is Christ in us. The older is the old man. He is in us. He is in us. When God looks, He doesn't see us. He sees Jesus. When he looks, that's what he sees. The younger. That younger man. We're serving that younger man. Praise God. He is a good God. And all his ways are good. What is it to you how God does what he does? What is it to you? We can be concerned with ourselves, but I have no say in Ronnie. That's between him and his God, his maker, your maker. Amen? Because he is so good, we can have birthdays and get a year older. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to David. at 2 o'clock. Amen.
Anyone want to say anything? Anything?
Need any prayer request or prayer for anybody? Come tell us. Just tell us a little bit what you know, the last thing you've heard on Greg.
Yes. Let me pull it up just in case. I want to get it right. Sorry, if you wanna. So, you know, he had to have a trach, all that, and then he pulled his trach out. He woke up, pulled it out, and that's what we had been praying for 2 weeks ago. It made one of his lungs collapse, and so it was just kind of a really bad deal. He had to go back to ICU, get put out, all that. Well, they reinserted the trach, got him stable. And after they got him stable, we prayed this on Sunday, and this was about 3 days later. The nurse said he became responsive, and both of his lungs are getting 100% oxygen. His collapsed lung is fine. It completely inflated back with oxygen, and he's responding to commands, and they practiced having him breathe on his own at 10-minute intervals, and they said he did great. And so he's alert. His mind is fine. Jeanette said that this was his birthday week as well. And so she said that she had a lot of hope and expectation that he won't be in there much longer. So we appreciate those prayers. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come sit up here on the front. Kurt, you and Loretta, y'all come up. What you need? Just come sit down beside her instead of bending over. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we come before you this morning after having heard your word, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
That nothing can stay. Yes. We just pray complete healing to this knee.
Yes.
And for whatever the reason that she's falling, we just take authority over that. We just thank you, Father, for the healing that you're doing, even now, that she can feel, be able to feel that. The healing hand of God. Hallelujah. 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 Could you feel it? Can you feel it? Seriously, I've
felt it.
Can you feel it? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's do our declaration. As we have given back to the Lord a portion of what he has given us, We declare that he teaches us to profit and leads us in the way we should go. The Lord gives us power to make wealth and supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory. We bless Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As he blesses us, his way becomes known on the earth and his salvation among all nations. Lord, we are believing you for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, debts paid off and transfer of wealth, prosperous businesses, our vats filled with oil and our coffers with gold. Expenses decreased, blessings increased, heavens opened, earth invaded, signs, wonders, and miracles, and angelic visitations. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, thank you for more than enough so we can give into your kingdom, co-labor with heaven, and see Jesus get his full reward. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.